chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. And I want to begin reading in verse, let's pick up in verse 15. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Romans chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 15. If you can and are physically able, let me ask you to stand. And I'm going to stay parked right here, kind of not standing and standing all at the same time. The Bible said, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father, or a father of many nations. And before whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things, or calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, I want you to notice that term, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, and neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I want to draw your attention to two phrases, one in verse number 19 and the other in verse number 20. We see that phrase, and being not weak in faith. And then in the last part of verse number 20, it says, but was strong in faith. And I want to preach tonight this last message of this revival meeting on this thought, how to be strong in faith. I believe that it'd help us all if our faith would increase. That was the prayer of the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. Amen? And I'll be honest with you, I think we live in a day and an hour when, because of the things that we see that alarm us, and because of the things that we see that trouble our minds, and the things that we face as we get older sometimes that cause our minds to be filled with more questions than we have answers, I think we find ourselves a lot of times in verse 19 instead of in verse 20. So I'm going to try to help all of us, the preacher included, to, amen, live in verse number 20 and not in verse number 19. Would you help me pray? Father, we bow in your presence tonight. And Father, we are grateful and extremely thankful, Father, for the blessings that you have so richly bestowed upon us today. Father, we thank you for the, Lord, just the privilege of being able to get out of bed this morning. We're mindful of those that, God, that would be a great privilege to them. And Father, we were able to rouse ourselves from a night of slumber and, Father, prepare ourselves for the day and even carry out the things that, Lord, our day necessitated be done. And Father, we want to thank you for that ability. We want to thank you for the beautiful day that you created for us. And Father, we want to thank you for this place that has been set apart, sanctified, Lord, that the word of God might be preached and the gospel might go forth, and Lord, the saints of God might be encouraged. Father, I want to thank you tonight for a Bible. Lord, I'm glad it's not just a book off a shelf, But Lord, I'm glad that it is the very inerrant, inspired, perfectly preserved Word of God. And Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us the privilege of being able to hold it in our hand and handle the Word of life. And Father, I pray now tonight, Lord, as I endeavor to preach that which you have given me for this hour and for this congregation, Lord, I dare not endeavor to do that in the energy of my own flesh. Lord, my flesh is weak, and Lord, if I don't have your help, Lord, it's not going to amount to a whole lot. Lord, I'm asking that God, you'd add your blessings to the reading and the preaching of your word, and God, you'd give me that unction that I need to preach. Father, I pray that God, the word would find a lodging place in our hearts, and God, we would find that it has strengthened our faith, and Father, it has helped us over the challenges and the struggles, and God, the objects that lie ahead of us, and God, impede our journey. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Lord, I do pray if there's somebody here tonight that's lost and undone, Father, I pray that tonight would be the night that, Lord, you'd reveal to them their need of the Savior. Lord, I've been praying, Lord, for those names numerous times every day and did so again today. Lord, I don't know maybe if one of those people whose name is on one of those pieces of paper that was handed to me by somebody that loved them and is very concerned about them. Lord, if they're here tonight, Father, I pray that God, you would speak to their heart. And God, you'd draw them to yourself. Father, we love you, and God, thank you again for all that you've done for us. For we make this prayer in Jesus' name, and we wrap it in expectation. Amen. You can be seated. I for one, am very grateful for the fact that we live in the age of computers. And one of the reasons why is because when I write something on a computer, I can actually read it, Brother Tim. If I use my own handwriting, which is poor at best, my children for a long time, when they watch me sign something, Brother Clyde, they would tell their mom, you need to put him through the penmanship course. And my handwriting is atrocious. I can print okay. Sometimes I can't even read what I print, Brother Phil. And so I'm thankful that when I'm studying, when I'm writing notes, I'm usually working at my computer and typing them out. And I began to think, because we don't do this as often as we used to, but remember when you sent a letter, you would actually write it out. I've seen some people that have absolutely beautiful handwriting. I mean, it's just a joy to be able to watch. And I was thinking about how, you know, we used to write a letter and, amen, stick it in a mailbox, and, amen, a postal worker would deliver it for us. And I got to thinking, Brother Jeremiah, if you had two letters that were identical in content, and you had one letter, Brother Jeff, that was grammatically perfect, every I was dotted, every T was crossed, every, amen, I was before E, which is a strange rule because it doesn't apply in a lot of words, but you ever think how jacked up our language really is? Amen? Any of y'all remember an old comedian by the name of Gallagher? He does a little skit, you know, of, you know, T-O-M-B, tomb, B-O-M-B, bomb. Amen? And he goes through that whole thing about how we take the same letters and make them sound all different. Amen. You know, you'd think if T-O-M-B's tomb, amen, and B-O-M-B's bomb, amen, that P-O-E-M would be pump. Well, anyway, I've got all, I'm thinking of it in my head and ain't coming out right. But anyway, so I was thinking about, if you had a letter that was absolutely grammatically perfect and it was written on some fine stationery and very skillfully written, and then you had a letter that me or probably Brother Tim would write that would be rife with misspellings, amen, and really difficult to read and sometimes illegible and grammatical errors, and maybe it was written on notebook paper that was torn out of a spiral notebook, and it was, you know, edges were smudged and scribbled on, and you took those letters and you deposited them both in a mailbox. The contents are exactly the same. The only difference is that on the letter that has misspellings and grammatical errors and is a little shabby, there was a stamp on the upper right-hand corner. And on the letter that was perfectly written and a joy to look at, there was not a stamp. Let me ask you a question, Brother Hines. Which letter is going to get delivered? The one with the stamp. The contents are exactly the same, but the stamp makes all the difference. And I got to thinking about that because a stamp seemingly is not a little thing, but it has a great consequence if one's not used properly. We often look at that word faith as not being a very big thing, but ladies and gentlemen, can I just say to you tonight and make a case quickly that faith is absolutely vital. In fact, if you'll humor me just a moment and go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, and I want you to look with me at verse number 6. I want you to notice these verses because I want to establish, you might even want to underline them or circle some important words, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible said, but without faith, it is unlikely that you'll please God. That's not what it says, is it? The Bible said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so first of all, tonight, this is just introduction, but can I say this? Faith pleases God. And so ladies and gentlemen, when you and I live a life of sight, and we live a life making decisions based upon what we think is best, we are not living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. There is something about a life of faith. Man, somebody said something last night about the fuel tank in our motor coach and what it costs to fill it up. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if I could figure out how I was going to work it all out and how it would all make sense, I wouldn't need God nearly as much as I need him. Amen? I'm telling you, there's something about faith that pleases God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You probably know the verse. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse number 8 and verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not only does faith please God, but faith is the means by which we come to salvation. Amen. Listen, I was talking to Brother Jeremiah, and he was talking about those chairs today. Brother Jeremiah and I have some things in common. I know this is probably going to come as a shock to some of you folks, but we are large men. Amen. He was talking about those chairs and how comfortable they were and how he didn't have to worry about it, amen, folding under his weight. And I made the statement that there have been times, especially in churches that buy inexpensive folding chairs, that I have sat down on a folding chair that is on top of tile floor, Brother Tom, and it's like a newborn baby fawn on an icy pond. Amen. And I'm just telling you, hey, I'm glad I've got, hey, listen, hey, faith is not shaky. Somebody say amen. Hi, listen, when I place my faith in God, I'm placing my faith in somebody who is not going to let me down. I'm placing my faith in somebody who can handle my, somebody ought to say amen right in here, somebody who can handle my problem, somebody who can meet my need, somebody who knows my need before I ever had the opportunity to voice it. Go to 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 4, 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4. I said, faith pleases God. Faith is the means by which we come to salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. If you find Revelation, throw it in reverse a little bit, and you'll find yourself in 1 John chapter number 5. The Bible said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is what allows us to have victory in a world that is set against us. By the way, have you noticed? I don't know if this thought has occurred to you. Right now, we are hearing the same rhetoric that was heard in the late 30s and early 40s in Germany. You know they're not stopping at Israel, don't you? You know you and I and Christianity in this book going to be the next ones on the, next one is in the crosshairs. Amen? I'm not trying to scare you. One of the jobs of a preacher, especially that of an evangelist, is to be a watchman on the wall. Amen? And I'm just trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that are coming down the road that if we don't have strong faith, amen? I was thinking the other day, I remember the Sunday that I was here and, amen, fell ill. And then, man, I mean, there was a panic that swept not just our country but our world. Amen? And I think periodically, ladies and gentlemen, we go through times where there's a great shaking to see what remains standing. Amen? And I'm just determined, preacher, that I'm going to stay standing until God takes me out of here. Amen? I'm just telling you, listen, if you are going to have faith that is going to be able to stand in the hour when the pressure is great, that's not going to come all at once because you just desire it. And I'm going to get to that point in just a minute, but it's faith that helps us overcome the world. Then look at Hebrews chapter number 11, look at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have never personally been to heaven. Amen. When I was in the depths of COVID and thought I was going to die, I did not see a pearly white city. I do know somebody, a good friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, whose wife, amen, they told her she was going to die. They had actually had her family come in, same time I was in the hospital, come in to say goodbye to her. And when she got better and she's recovered much more so than I did. And we met together just shortly after that in May of that year, May of 2020. And she told me that there was a time when, amen, she was walking beside a beautiful river. And she kept wanting to turn toward the river. And every time, Brother Phil, she'd turn toward the river, she said she felt an arm go around her and a voice say, you can't go that way. She said, is that you, Lord? And she said, that voice said, who do you think it is? Now, I didn't see that. But I'm telling you, my Bible tells me that there's a place, amen, where those that have placed their faith and trust in Christ go when we die. And I'm telling you, faith is what makes heaven real to us. And one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, our faith is going to become sight. It's not going to be just what we've read about. It's not going to be just what we've dreamt about. How the Bible said that eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, heaven will be a reality. You say, what is faith, preacher? Well, let me say quickly that faith is taking God at his word. Amen? Faith is not asking for more. Faith is taking God at his word. Amen? Hey, man, I was talking about bumper stickers the other day, and I remember that bumper sticker that used to be real popular that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, if you can just take the I believe it out, because if God said it, that settles it. Amen? And faith is taking God at his word. Listen, faith is not merely believing God can, but knowing God will. And walking by faith enables us to trust where we cannot see. I know several of you have mentioned prayer requests and asked requests for, amen, tests that you've got coming up. And, you know, the tests that we have to take when we're older are of much greater consequence than the ones we have to take when we're younger. Amen? And sometimes it's difficult to see what the Lord's doing, isn't it? Sometimes what's going on in our life doesn't make sense, but can I just remind you that the same God that loved you enough to save you, loves you enough to walk you through whatever you might face between here and home? Amen? There was a song that was written several years ago, and I can't recall all the lyrics, but the gist of the song was maybe all these things we go through on this side are just to make us long for home. Amen? I travel, and that's been our life for, amen, for the last 20 years, and we'll do it as long as God gives us the health and the ability to do so. So we've never really had a place, Sheila, that we've ever really felt like was home. We've been a lot of different places, and there's a lot of churches, and we're very blessed. I was just telling Brother Phil tonight, we're very blessed because there's a lot of churches that we feel very at home in. This is one of them. Amen? But we don't have a place. We have a home church, but honestly, I'm here more this year than I'll be there one Sunday. But I travel a lot, and it's interesting that I noticed that when people grow up in a certain place, they always seem to gravitate back, amen, to home. And ladies and gentlemen, can I just remind you that one of these days we're going home? Now, I got to thinking about this because one of the things that I'm grappling with, because my physical ability has been diminished, is I have lost a great deal of strength. I was telling the preacher, I almost called him today because I had a job that needed to get done, and it was everything that I could do, and I got to the place where I didn't think I could do it, and I sat down in a chair and looked at it for a little while longer, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to let six screws and a piece of wood beat me that easy. Amen? And I got it done, But I got to thinking about that because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, faith like our bodies need to be exercised in order to be strong and remain strong. Amen? I mean, if you just sit around and don't do anything, amen, what'll happen is you'll lose core strength, you'll lose arm strength, you'll lose leg strength. I'm just telling you. In fact, I drew your attention to that verse in verse number 19 where the Bible says, in being not weak in faith, isn't it interesting? God even uses that term. Weak faith, strong faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I began to think about this idea of strong faith, because if we face what I think is coming down the road and what our Bible indicates is going to, listen, I am a pre-millennial, pre-tribulation believer. I believe before it gets really bad, we're getting out of here. But notice the emphasis on really. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you, it might get a little dicey. Amen? And it might require a little more of you than Sunday morning only. It might require a little more of you than just a, amen, just there. I don't know, you know Sam Gipp, don't you? Sam Gipp used to come in and preach for me when I was pastoring in Missouri. And Brother Gipp would always, he's a proponent of reading 10 pages of your Bible every day. And he's talking about page, this is a half a page. If you read both sides, that's a full page. So amen, 20 pages, 10 full pages of your Bible every day. And I'll never forget him saying that doing any less than that is like licking toast. Pretty good visual, isn't it? I'll be honest with you. If what lies ahead is what I think is ahead, Brother Tim, it's going to take a little bit more nourishment than licking toast for us to face what we might have to face coming up the road. Amen. And so I want you to understand, we're gonna going back to Romans chapter 4, look at verse number 16. We'll stay here. We'll jump around a little bit, but I want to just walk through this text. The Bible says, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Can I say, first of all, that strong faith is received as the gift of God? I want you to understand that faith brings us into God's favor. Remember the verse, Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is what? It's impossible. It's not improbable. It's not unlikely. It's impossible. Without faith, it is impossible. Listen, grace is God's unmerited favor, but faith is that which links us to grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Listen, faith brings us into God's family. And man, one of the awesome things about being a traveling evangelist, we meet new people all the time who just shortly after we've met them feels like we've known them all our life. You know why? Listen, I remember when I first got saved, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have a church background. I wasn't a church kid that just grew up in church. I was a lost heathen. And I remember just going to church and hearing them call each other brother and sister, and we weren't in Kentucky or Arkansas. And I thought, well, this is strange. How are these people all related? I'm not just trying to make a joke, although it is funny. But I didn't understand. And then I got saved. And then I realized, hey, man, I was pastoring in Missouri. I think the Fouches were there at the church at the time. And I had gone to a camp meeting down in southeast Missouri, and I met a black preacher out of West Memphis, Arkansas, named Ed Lay. And anybody that knows me knows I like food. We hold these truths to be self-evident. But one of my favorite types of food is not my wife's favorite type of food. I love Chinese food. Amen? I like it. And so Ed Lay liked Chinese food, and so we went to my little favorite Chinese restaurant, Fortune, up there on High Street. And I knew the waitress really well. She's the one taught me how to eat with chopsticks, and not the kind that got rubber bands tied together to them, but real chopsticks. And she took some time during a lunch when they weren't busy, and amen, worked with me and enabled me to eat with. So we're in there, and I'm talking to Ed, and I'm calling him Brother Ed this. He's calling me Brother Phil that. And honest before the Lord, the waitress comes. She says, here, brother. And I said, yes, ma'am, same father, different mothers. She looked at him and looked at me. I actually had to go in the back and explain it to her. Amen. So she didn't think my mother was a loose woman. Amen. Or my dad was a loose man. But anyway, and listen, but that's the relationship we have. Amen. And aren't you thankful that it transcends creed and culture and location? Amen. Aren't you thankful that we're part of the family of God? Hey, listen, faith is a gift, and it's got to be received as a gift. Amen. Romans chapter number 12, let me read you the verse real quick. Verse number 3, the Bible said, for this I say, though through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Listen, I'm thankful that God has given us faith. Aren't you thankful for the ability to believe? Amen. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things that we can't see and that don't make sense. Man, we're watching some things right now play out and it doesn't make sense. But ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that God is not up in heaven eating Rolaids and drinking Maalox trying to figure out how he's going to take care of everything that's going on in this world and in your life. Amen. He's got it all under control. Look at verse number 17, Romans chapter 4, quickly. The Bible says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, Even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Can I say, not only does great faith or is strong faith received as the gift of God, but strong faith, secondly, respects the greatness of God. Listen, strong faith is not only rooted in the grace of God, but in the character of God. And you and I've got a great God. Amen. He's great because he allows us to know him. You ever thought about that? Let me read you Psalm 46, and let me read verse number 10 to you. And the Bible said, hearken, verse 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Man, isn't it a privilege to know that he is God? Amen. Man, I don't look out at the vastness of the night sky and wonder, amen, who created that, and wonder if maybe there was some big cosmic explosion. No. Amen. I believe that there was a God who spoke this world into existence and put every star exactly in its place. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm thankful that I've got a God that allows me to know him. But not only does he allow me to know him, can I say quickly, he allows us to trust him. Look at Psalm chapter 9, verse number 10, if you can turn there quickly. The Bible said, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken. Boy, aren't you thankful for that? He's not forsaken them that seek thee. There have been some times, this is not a complaint at all, please. This is just an observation. So I got sick here. We drove north. And that was a Tuesday that we left here, the 4th of August. I got up north and I got the coach, well, she got the coach set up, and all my kids got on the phone and ganged up on me. My son, my oldest boy at that point in time, was working as he was working for a vault company, working, amen, building burial vaults and doing graveside services. And all the kids got on the phone, my daughter's a nurse, and they all got on the phone, and my oldest boy said to me, he said, Dad, I bury stubborn men every day of the week. And he said, you need to listen to mom and go to the hospital. So I did. It's about 7 o'clock, and we got there, I don't know, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and they wheeled me in the emergency room, and I went from there to a room they kept me, and then went from there to intensive care because my condition spiraled down very quickly. And I remember when I first got over the bad part of COVID, and they realized I wasn't going to die. They kept expecting me to, but I'm here, and I'm not here in spirit. Amen. I love those people that tell you, hey, preacher, I'll be there in spirit. I don't want you in spirit. Amen. Spirit don't put nothing in the offering plate. Amen. I live in a real world, man. I don't want no spiritual offering. Amen. I'm looking for that gold bullion, man. You've been promising that all week. I'm gonna be highly disappointed if there's not a, amen, a gold double eagle in there or something, amen. But I hope you know I'm just kidding, because honest for the Lord. I feel bad even saying that. I'm just trying to be cute, but God has taken such good care of us. Listen, if we drove out of here and it cost me money to come, God's been good to me. Amen. But when I first could get texts and phone calls, I got a lot of people that called me. You know, there's some of those folk hadn't called me in 4 years. Amen. Because I couldn't do for them at this stage of my life what I was doing for them before. And you know, Brother Tim, I can't do for God at this stage of my life. what I could do before. But he had never run out on me. When I read his word this morning, he spoke to my heart. When I bowed my head and prayed, I knew I had his ear. Amen. When we went over to the little reservation restaurant and enjoyed the daily special of fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and reservation beans, which is my favorite thing in the world. Amen. And amen, with some onion. Just needed a piece of cornbread, but I didn't want to bother the waitress. Just, it's a hint. Amen. Next time. But, you know, when we prayed, I knew the Lord heard me. Man, isn't it good? I mean, listen, the things that we face in this life, who else are we going to go to? I mean, you can put them on your Facebook page if you want to. I'm not advocating that you do that. Don't even know if that's smart. You might get a lot of people that give you sympathy, but they can't fix your problem. Amen. Had a young preacher that called me here recently, just went out into evangelism. I've known him for a good long while. He reminds me a lot of me when I was about his age. And he was asking me something. He said, "You think I ought to put it out on social media?" And I said, "No, I don't think you should. I really think you just need to leave it with the Lord. And just God knows your need, and God can meet the need. And God can prick somebody's heart without you putting it all over social media." Amen. But listen, I'm glad we've got a God that allows us to trust him. And listen, don't miss this. Trusting God allows us to glance at our problems and gaze at him. It doesn't mean your problem's not there. Amen. I mean, some of us still are facing some things. And there's some uncertainty and some unknown. But can I just tell you, listen, when you know who God is and you've got a good glimpse at him, man, I remember when I first started going to church, Sheila, and that choir would get up and sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You know what our problem is? We're too, what's the word when you can see close but you can't see far? I always get that confused. I think it ought to be farsighted, but I think it's, whatever it is. It's near, yeah. We see our problem and we don't see God. Amen. Listen, strong faith renounces confidence in human resources. Look at verse 18. I don't know if you've ever really paid attention to how this verse is structured. Who against hope, that first hope, let me just stop there. That first hope is speaking of human hope. Because when Abraham looked at his age and his ability, and Sarah's age and Sarah's ability, you know what they saw? No hope. Who against hope, but aren't you glad it didn't stop there? Believed in hope. Ladies and gentlemen, divinely speaking, there's hope when there's no hope. You know why? Because we got a second hope. Amen. I don't have to hope like the world does that, amen, I hope tomorrow will be a good day. Well, whether it is or not, it's going to be a good day because God's going to make one. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, hey, against hope, you and I need to believe in hope. Listen, the future might not look bright. The future might look kind of dim and dreary, but can I remind you, we got a second hope. Amen. We've got something greater than this world. This world's not my home. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope. Charles Spurgeon said, "Look to yourself and doubts will increase, but look to Jesus and they'll disappear." I like what one writer said when he wrote these words. He said, "Where reason cannot stand, faith can swim." I know how you are, brother. Brother Jeremiah, I am very buoyant. I will float like a piece of styrofoam. Amen. I mean, we've got a, Our middle son, Ryan, he's put on a little weight since he's been married, and amen, he's now up in his mid-30s, but he was always skinny as a rail. And we tried to teach all our kids to swim, and I didn't teach them the way my grandpa taught me, because that was out in Lake Michigan, 50 feet from the shore, and he threw me out of the boat. True story, amen. And I foundered my way, amen, to the top of the water and learned to swim. But we always try to teach him how to float. So I'd get him, Brother Tim, and I'd get my hands underneath his, amen, the back of his legs and his back and support him. And I'd say, "Now, Ryan, just relax." And the moment I'd remove my hands, he'd fold up like a cheap lawn chair and sink like a stone. Listen, I've often read and told the story of the Titanic, its anniversary, amen, just passed of its sinking. There's a great story. If you ever want to look up a good little book to read, it's a book by the guy by the name of John Harper, and it's called The Titanic's Last Hero. Because on board the Titanic, they didn't put this in the movie, but on board the Titanic was a Baptist preacher. And he was on board that vessel because he was going to preach a meeting. And when that ship was sinking in the icy waters of the North Atlantic before it went down, he was on the deck of that ship, and he cried at the top of his lungs, "Women, children, and the unsaved to the lifeboats." Did you catch that? When that ship went under, or just before that ship went under, as they knew they were going down, he had a life jacket. And he came upon a man, and he said, "Sir, do you know the Lord?" And the man said, "No." And John Harper took that life jacket off of him and put it over the neck of that man and said, "Then you will need this more than I will." True story. As they floated around there in the icy waters of the North Atlantic, he would float up to somebody and ask them if they knew the Lord. They would say no. He'd say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And of course, the current is crazy in that part of the Atlantic, and the current would bring people together and then drive them apart. And several hours later, and much, much wearier, as he's hanging on to just a piece of flotsam, he comes up to the same man and he said, "Sir, are you saved?" And the man said no. And John Harper one more time said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he slipped beneath the icy waters of the North Atlantic. You see, ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? Where reason cannot stand, faith can swim. And you can face some uncertain days because you know what's certain beyond this world. Amen. Oh, let me say quickly, not only does faith, the strong faith is received as a gift of God, respects the greatness of God, but let me say quickly, strong faith regards the guidance of God. Look at verse number 20. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. You see, ladies and gentlemen, what results from strong faith is obedience. God has given all of us natural ability. I'm always amazed when I come here at the ability, and I know it's not just raw talent, I know it's work and effort, and you've learned and you put in the time and the practice, but I'm always amazed at the musical ability of people here. We all have natural ability, but natural ability is not going to help us when our back's against the wall. We need something supernatural. Amen. And you know the great thing about the Christian life, sisters, if you'll give God your natural, he'll add his super to it. Amen. And he will enable you, Brother Hines, to do something that is beyond your ability and beyond your comprehension and beyond people's comprehension to understand, because he will add his super to our natural. And listen, Abraham did father a child and Sarah did give birth. Amen. Listen, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Listen, you understand this. Farmers don't farm by faith. Amen. They work up the field and sow the seed. Faith follows their actions. Amen. The old adage is work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. Amen. Listen, where God guides, God really does provide. And so what God told Abraham and Sarah, what he promised them didn't make sense. And so Sarah's answer to the problem, sis, was she was just going to contrive and conceive a way where maybe it could work out. And God didn't need her help, and God doesn't need your help. He would like your cooperation. Amen. He would like your willingness. Amen. He's looking for hands and feet. He's looking for mouths. He's looking for people that he can use. Can I just say quickly, strong faith reflects the glory of God. Hey, listen, I want you to notice those four words in verse number 20. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith. Notice this, giving glory to God. That's the key. Amen. Somebody said faith and praise are inseparable. And one, amen, begets the other. And then the other, amen, increases the first one. And it's almost like one of those perpetual motion things. Amen. The more faith, the more praise. The more praise, the more faith. Hey, listen, when's the last time you just hauled off? And I'm not talking about in a demonstrable public setting, but when's the last time you just hauled off and thanked God for how good he's been to you? Oh, I know we're all good at telling God what we need and how this isn't fair. And God, I need you to fix this. And God, I need you to take care of that. God, would you make sure my neighbor stays on their side of the fence and quits mowing my side of the yard? Somebody say amen. When's the last time you just thanked God for everything you've got that you don't deserve? Amen. Somebody said praise. It's just faith turned inside out. And God honors faith. And faith honors God. I've got a black preacher friend of mine up in our neck of the woods up in northwest Indiana. His name is Clemens Chappelle. And Clemens Chappelle will often preach in a meeting that he and I are together. And he'll talk about exercising your faith muscles. Amen. Because just like your physical muscles, they don't grow unless they've been exercised. Somebody say amen. And so that child you've given up on, I mean, you've not given up on them, but really you've given up on, in your heart, you've given up on them. That grandchild, that situation that, amen, you've tried to remedy, and it's always futile, and you've just given up hope, and your first hope has run out. Are you listening to me tonight? Who against hope believed in hope? That medical diagnosis that you've got that you're grappling with, and you don't know how this thing's going to turn out, and you're struggling right now. Amen. Maybe what you need to do is not go down to Planet Fitness. Maybe what you need to do is run down to that old AV 1611 and open its pages and let it feed you. It's a whole lot better than a protein drink. Whole lot better than creatine. Amen. Or body armor or Gatorade or anything. Amen. And then exercise your faith muscles. And say, God, I'm going to quit trying to do it myself, and I'm just going to trust you. And I'm not going to stop praying until either I get an answer or you take me home. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. We can get somebody up here to just start quietly playing on a piano. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's interesting that in verse 19, God talks about weak faith. In verse number 20, he talks about strong faith. And there's nothing in between, Brother Jeremiah. Your faith's either weak or it's strong. It's one of those things where there's no middle ground. It's either on or off. It's either active or inactive. And I wonder tonight if there might be some folks under the sound of my voice, and you'd say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you, my faith has not been what I know it needs to be. It's weak. And I need to exercise some faith muscles in some areas. And preacher, God spoke to my heart. Here's my hand. I'm asking you to pray for me that I'd exercise my faith and I quit trying to do it on my own." I appreciate those hands that are raised. Who would join these? There's hands throughout the building. Can I ask this? How many of you got a situation where it's kind of like Abraham and Sarah? It looks hopeless. Everything you see, everything you're looking at, and you've been looking for a while. I sat there today at a little project that would have taken me any time at all 4 years ago. And I'm telling you, honestly, it took me hours to get done what would have taken me minutes to do 4 years ago. And you know what I did? I sat there and I looked at it, and the more I looked at it, the more it beat me, the more it discouraged me. And when I finally just exercised some muscles and got up and got to it, I was able to figure it out. And some of you've got something in your life right now. I know, because I really feel like it in my spirit. Some of you got something right now you've been sitting staring at for years. And it has beat you up and it has beat you down and it has taunted you and haunted you and told you that you can't get the victory. And maybe tonight God just came along and gave you that second hope, who against hope believed in hope. And you'd say, "Preacher, I've got something tonight that fits in that category, and I'd just like to ask you to pray for me." Would you slip your hand up and let me see it? Man, there's hands all over the room. Could I ask you to exercise your physical muscles and your faith muscles tonight and find your way down here to an altar? In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to make it easy for you to come. Maybe you're like me, and maybe kneeling at an altar is very difficult, but you could come and stand, or you could sit on the front pew. But I believe if we will move as God has responded to us, God will see our faith. And then don't just leave it here at the altar. And don't let it just die here at the church, but carry it home with you. I want to ask you to stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Our Father, we thank you for how kindly and graciously you have dealt with us tonight and spoken to us. And Father, as we open the altar tonight, folks are already coming. Lord, I pray that God, we'd give those things to you that are way above our pay grade anyway. God, thank you that you won't run out on us. God, thank you that you won't leave us. Thank you that anytime we call, you answer the phone, you hear our prayer. Lord, I do pray if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, they're lost and undone, that God, tonight would be the night when they would know what it means to, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks are still coming tonight. How about you? Would you exercise your faith muscles? Would you ask the Lord to help you? be in a hurry tonight. You don't have to be in a hurry here at this altar. You stay till you know God's heard you, until you've heard from him. Folks are still coming. How about it tonight? He really does love you. He doesn't want you to carry that thing by yourself. He doesn't want to see you just continue to get beat up and beat up and beat up.